do a little prophecy update this morning. There is so much going on, and I have a lot to read, so I hope it isn't too dry or boring for you guys, but I can't remember all these articles, so I'm just going to read them to you. Yeah, sorry. We're going to talk about Judgment Day. Someone mentioned that in Sunday school, and I said, yeah, we're going to actually talk about it. Talk about some of the Mideast wars, judgment on the United States, and rapture, and our reign with Jesus Christ. You got to end on a positive note with this, something like this, amen. In this first article, Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri has switched his loyalty to Hezbollah and Iran, shocking Riyadh and dismaying Israel is the title. And it says, the Lebanese Sunni politician and his family have long been intricately tied to Saudi Arabia and its royal house, as well as professing a pro-West orientation. However, it was suddenly noticed in Riyadh, as well as Jerusalem, that the most devoted Saudi loyalist in Beirut has quietly crossed the lines. Hariri had quietly decided to follow the Iranian star and throw in his political lot with his old enemy, the Shiite Hezbollah. And they had promised he would retain the premiership after Lebanon's May 8th general election, in which their Shiite March 8th alliance was sure to win majority in parliament. Caught unaware by Lebanon's imminent slide into the Iranian orbit, Saudi ruler hurriedly summoned Hariri to Riyadh. He arrived Wednesday, February 28th, but it was too late to change him back. Notice it was the Feast of Purim, by the way, Wednesday. The prospect of an Iranian puppet government in Beirut is stunning news for Riyadh, which has been traditionally regarded Beirut with its banks and varied luxuries as their backyard. But for Israel, it spells disaster. It means that Iran has succeeded in expanding its ominous, belligerent presence in both of Israel's northern neighbors, Lebanon as well as Syria. That the Saudis were caught napping showed in the interview the Washington Post ran Wednesday with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Remember that guy? We talked about him at the last month at More Noble Ministries as one of the people that could be the Antichrist, Mohammed bin Salman. Referring to Saad Hariri, the prince commented, Now he is in a better position in Lebanon, clearly unaware of the shock ahead. And, you know, the shock ahead, what could that be? Number one, that Iran doesn't play by their own rules, and so whatever they promised him may or may not come true. The other is that if there is a war, they're in the crosshairs now of Israel, siding with Iran. So, which brings us to, I mentioned that the 28th was also the Feast of Purim. And the Feast of Purim, of course, is from the Book of Esther. And it is a celebratory event every year celebrating the Jews' victory. But it gets its name, Pur, from a lot that Haman, the man who was vehemently purposing to wipe the Jews out, drew a lot called a pur to pick the day, the countdown, the day that he would destroy Israel. And here's the passage from Esther 9:24. Because Haman, the son of Hammedath, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. Verse 25, but when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they call these days Purim after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them. And so we know the story that Esther came in. Her uncle Mordecai said, you don't know that you're called into the kingdom for such a time as this. You got a warning. He warned them. But the point is, the Pur or the lot, he already knew he was wanting to destroy the Jews. The purpose of the Pur or the lot was to count down, pick a day that would count down when he would destroy them. So the drawing of this lot was a countdown to the day that he was planning to destroy them, which brings us to our next article. This coming April, Iran will host its first ever International Hourglass Festival, dedicated exclusively to counting down to the imminent collapse of the Zion regime. Now, does that not exactly sound like the story in Esther? And when did this article come out? It came out on Wednesday the 28th on the Feast of Purim. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, it just blew me away. At a press conference announcing the festival, remember, they're calling it an hourglass festival to count down to when they destroy the Jews. At the press conference announcing the festival on Tuesday, Hossein Amr Abdullahian, the Secretary General of the International Conference on Supporting Palestinian Infada, said that the Islamic Republic won't allow the Zionists to play with the security of the Middle East. He added that the Iranian regime believes that Israel will collapse within the next 25 years and suggested that in the time being, Israel is purposefully keeping the region in an era of instability. It's amazing how these people lie, huh? To combat this Zionist aggression, Iran is hosting a festival as a means to showcase anti-Israel art and multimedia creation. In the past, Iran has expressed the same sentiment by burning Israeli flags and hosting an annual Holocaust cartoon contest. Those wishing to enter the festival may submit any number of creations or productions, ranging from animated films and mobile apps to posters and online games. The festival's organizers said that they will partner with over 2,000 anti-Israel non-government offices from around the globe. And so, again, it just boggles my mind that we would see something called an hourglass festival counting down to the destruction of Israel on the Feast of Purim. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the Middle East, now what's going on in the Middle East, if you haven't been following, is we have about 20 bases in Syria, the U.S. does. We've set up hot spots. And one of the biggest hot spots is one that's located right at the intersection of Syria and Iraq and Jordan. And the idea is we are trying to prevent Iran from getting a land bridge where they can continue to move weapons into Syria that are going to threaten Israel. This latest article says the U.S. has sent a contingent of Marine troops to reinforce the American Al-Tanf garrison, which commands the Syrian-Iraqi-Jordanian border intersection. According to several American sources, it numbers up to thousands of men. Military sources have said for some months Russian, Iranian, and Syrian forces have been campaigning for the expulsion of U.S. forces from the strategic corner of eastern Syria. Their presence at Al-Tanf impedes the passage of pro-Iranian Shiite forces in Iraq and defends the northern Jordan. Now, what this article doesn't say is a few days earlier, probably about a week earlier, the Iranians came in and were trying to make a bridge over a body of water there, and we went out to stop them, and they sent in some reinforcements, and we destroyed them. We killed about 30 Russians in the process. They weren't Russian military. They were Russian contracted military, and that's how Russia is getting by with not acting as if they are invading, and we've done that before, too. There are actually companies that now have ex-military people that are part of a company that are get paid very well, just so we don't have to say that we lost troops in a certain area. They know to keep it quiet. But we killed about 20, 30 Russians in the process and stopped them then. And right after that, Russia brought in one of their stealth jets to combat the jets that we used to stop them with. And so things are really heating up. You don't hear any of this in our regular news, do you? You don't hear any of that. Which brings us to President Trump's peace plan for Jerusalem. As you know, May 14th is the 17th anniversary of Israel's statehood, and they've picked that day as the day that they are going to open the new embassy in Jerusalem. U.S. President Donald Trump's Israel-Palestinian peace plan will call for an independent Palestinian state with eastern Jerusalem as its capital. The London-based Ashga al-Awast newspaper reported on Wednesday. I should just skip some of these words I can't pronounce, huh? A French diplomat told the Arabic language daily that the Trump administration is expected to reveal its peace plan at the upcoming international conference in Cairo. The report says that under Trump's peace plan, the United States will recognize an independent Palestinian state with eastern Jerusalem as its capital on conditions that the disputed old city, home to sites holy to Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, is administered by an international custodian. Now, what does an international custodian mean? By the way, there's the picture of some of the negotiations. Well, it means a lot of things, but one of the things that obviously is going to happen before that is war. War in Syria means war with Russia. And what does the dividing of Jerusalem mean? Well, it will soon come to pass. I don't know if the peace plan will go through as Trump has suggested, but I think that it will ultimately go through. Not only will it come to pass, I believe the third temple will be built and soon, and there may be a regional war, but it will happen, and the third temple will be built next to the Muslim Dome of the Rock. And there's the Muslim Dome of the Rock. I picked this picture, which is kind of behind it. Most of the pictures you see are from the Western Wall looking forward. This is behind it. You can see this huge area out behind it. There is a large flat area that has nothing on it, and the Bible teaches that the third temple will be built adjacent to it in this area behind it here. Here is one of the verses, Ezekiel 42:20. He measured it by the four sides. It had a wall round about it, 500 reeds long and 500 broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Now, we know what the profane place is. It's the Dome of the Rock. And the reason they call it the profane place is because it's referring to the Dome of the Rock as a profane place, is because there's an inscription on the Dome of the Rock in Arabic that says, God does not beget, neither is he begotten. And that is a profane attack on the most blessed verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved he gave his only begotten son. And that was written as a direct insult to John 3:16. So God named it accurately the profane place, as they profane God's word. The second passage that I'm convinced proves that the temple will be built next to the Dome of the Rock is from the New Testament, Revelation 11. In John's writing, he said, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months. Now, we understand that it's given to the Gentiles, right, to the Muslims. But that statement that the Gentiles will tread the city for 42 months, of course, this is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, to me, you know, that article I just read, it said that Trump's peace plan of dividing the city, and it talks about an international custodian of people monitoring it. Do you know what that is? That's Jerusalem being trampled by the Gentiles, isn't it? And so they bring in these UN peacekeepers to keep the peace. Thousands of these Gentiles are going to be treading the city of Jerusalem, just as Revelation 11:2 says. Pretty interesting. Fact that, and I put that here, the fact that the article makes reference to the governance being an international community appears to be the Gentiles treading Jerusalem underfoot. All right. How many of you guys know who this guy is? Prior to 6 months ago, I didn't. Never heard of the guy. His name is Bob Jones. How many of you guys have ever heard of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City? A few of you have, right? Well, there is a story by the pastor, and I forget his name, didn't research it, that he was, before they had their big complex where they have it now, he had a small church in Kansas City, and he was in his office, and this guy came in overalls, older man, and he looked at this pastor's office. He said, yeah, this is the room you showed me, Lord. And he proceeds to tell this man that he's going to pastor this huge church, that he's going to build it on some Indian land that's going to be given to him. And he tells him all this stuff, and he thinks he's a quack. And he leaves. It was this man named Bob Jones. He's considered one of the few prophets of our age, has incredible gifts from God. And he's pretty plain, down-to-earth, country man, speaks with a little southern accent, doesn't try to profess to be polished or anything, but he has a gift of God. Well, the pastor of the International House of Prayer later on was given a large portion of land that was once Indian owned, and that is where today the International House of Prayer stands, just as Bob Jones said. So what does Bob Jones have to do with all of this? Bob Jones saw two mighty angels. One was holding the San Diego plate and the other one the New Madrid fault line. When each cup is full, the angel will turn loose the quakes, and they will happen, and they will be sudden. This is a prophecy by Bob Jones. He was given a vision of the California earthquakes. Mammoth Lakes, east of Modesto, is going to happen with an enormous earthquake and or volcanic eruption. When Mammoth Lakes quakes erupt, Hoover Dam will burst. Water flumes, including those to Southern California, will break apart. 25 million people in the Southwest will be affected and without water. Lack of water will be the main danger in California. Isn't that, he wrote this long before the California droughts, by the way. Death Valley will become a great inland sea. In the California quake, Bob saw the ground quake for 5 minutes. The ground liquefied and complete houses and buildings sank into the ground, just as if they were in quicksand. The San Fernando Valley, seat of pornography, won't rise again. In Los Angeles, he says, get out. Expect a devastating earthquake and terrorists attack with nuclear suitcase bombs. Some of these bombs have already been smuggled into California. 126 nuclear suitcase bombs are missing from Russia. Many have been smuggled in the U.S. and Israel by terrorists. Due to the eruption earthquakes, a plate will separate. The Sea of Cortez, Gulf of California, to the Los Angeles River will separate from the continental U.S. What is left of Baja California and Southern California east of the breaking, sliding continental plate will be an island or series of islands. Now, I'm reporting this as he said it. You can take it for whatever you want, but I did wanted to tell you the testimony about the International House of Prayer, because he certainly nailed that one right, and I don't have any reason to doubt him, but you know, try the spirits, right? The cup is full for California, and he made this prediction in 1997, so we're talking about 20 years ago. Expect quakes, terrorist bombs, and viruses. Get into your prayer closet, was his words. Then he went on to talk about the New Madrid earthquake. There will be an enormous earthquake somewhere along the New Madrid fault line. A mighty angel has been holding this fault line together. You know, and it could be our prayers that are holding the angel there. Amen. Six great cities will be destroyed. Among them are Chicago, Morgan City, St. Louis, Memphis. Memphis will become a lake. Oh, did that go black? Oh, on mine it did. Memphis will become a lake. The Mississippi River will be 35 miles wide when it's all over. The shaking will be felt all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina. Water from the Great Lakes will flow south to the Mississippi River and to the Gulf of Mexico. Then he goes on to make some other statements. Our economy will be destroyed when huge earthquakes hit Tokyo and Japan pulls their money out of the U.S. stock market. The nations will repent when the cities are leveled. So, and it's amazing how people will who haven't prayed will get on their knees when things like this start happening. Some Midwest cities are going to experience 5 feet of rain in 2 to 3 days. And, of course, we've seen not 5 feet, but we've seen some pretty mammoth rains already. There will be a third world war. There will be signs in the sun, and the earth will change. There will be sober times, but be of good cheer. Get your eyes off the gift and on to the giver of the gifts, the Creator. Get to know the Lord as a wife knows her husband. If there is trouble in your marriage, fix it. Put on Jesus Christ. That was his prophecy. All right. What? Huh? 97. Now, that brings us to John Kilpatrick. I'm sure you've heard me talk about his vision of the New Madrid. This is the Brownsville Revival pastor. And he accounts that how he had saw a vision of an old colonial looking map, and in his vision it was along the New Madrid fault line, and he saw the land rolling like waves. He saw basically the same thing from the Great Lakes all the way down, and he says he knows it's going to happen, and people asked him when, and he said, I believe it will be when we divide Jerusalem, God will divide the United States. And my spirit bears witness with that. I mean, anytime in the history, you can go back and look at all these other presidents, every time we have meddled with Jerusalem and this peace plan, devastation has came to the United States. They made a movie called The Perfect Storm on that perfect storm that converged and wiped out George Bush Sr.'s house after he meddled with Israel. And so, and then Hurricane Katrina as well. And that was on, you know, the 9th of Av when Israel had to vacate, and we certainly paid the price there. Now, I bring you to this new guy that I've just recently found. When I first saw him, I thought he was some kind of Hindu Buddhist person, but and maybe he was at one time. His name is Sadhu Sudhar Selvaj. Has anybody heard of this guy? He is a born-again, spirit-filled, in love with Jesus man with a gift of prophecy. And he's been on Jim Baker's show as a guest. You know, Tom Horn has been on Jim Baker's show. A lot of these guys that talk about last days, prophecy, controversial things have been on Jim Baker's show. Many people remember Jim Baker from years ago. He's got a little bit, but, you know, he doesn't preach. He brings these guys on with these messages and interviews them, and this guy's been on Jim Baker. And he says also that the New Madrid fault is going to erupt, as well as missiles falling on the U.S. and Russia invading the United States, what this guy has said. And I didn't write down a lot of what he said. If you do, YouTube. You can go out and listen to him. He seems sincere, and if he's hearing from God, that's what he says he's heard. Sorry. I will spell his name. S-A-D-H-U-S-U-N-D-A-R, and so it's three words, and the last one is S-E-L-V-A-R-A-J, S-E-L-V-A-R-A-J. And like I said, he's been on some, he's spoken at many prophets' conferences. He's been on reputable programs that host Christians. So he sure doesn't look like what you would expect a prophecy preacher to look like. But I guess he didn't feel he needed to change his appearance once he came to Jesus. And so we'll just leave that at that. Now, some verses for you. We are talking a little bit about a judgment day that's coming. We know there's going to be a judgment day. There is no doubt about it. Jesus made it quite clear. And the Old Testament tells us to seek ye the Lord, Zephaniah 2:3, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Amen. Notice he doesn't say, seek the Lord when Russia invades. It doesn't say seek the Lord when the New Madrid fault happens. When does he tell you to seek the Lord? Seek him now, right? If you seek him now, it may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And what is that? That's the rapture of the church, of course. Yes, yes. And this is so scriptural, and yet so often people don't think about it. When you think about the parable of the 10 virgins, what did they say on the day? Well, we want to go too. Well, your lamp's not full of oil. See, this is what fills your lamp full of oil, seeking the Lord now, not when everything is blowing up around you. I'm preaching to the choir. You know that. Yeah, yeah. But it needs to be said, you know. Matthew 10:15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than this city. So we see there is judgments on cities. There is judgments on generations, and of course there is the last day judgment, and he's talking about the last day judgment. He's talking about that the city that rejected their Messiah, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment, right? But unto you it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than you. Matthew 13:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on when? The day of judgment. Amen. When I started looking at this, I was amazed at how many verses Jesus said about the day of judgment. Amen. It is a day that is coming. We can wish it away, but Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. They're going to rise when? On the day of judgment and condemn them. It's like, what's wrong with you people? The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Mark 6:11. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words. You know, if you get discouraged witnessing to people, don't get discouraged. Think about this. If they don't receive you or hear your words when you depart, shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. And so when we preach Jesus and they reject it, they are condemning themselves on the day of judgment. Romans 2:5. But after your hardness and impotent heart, treasure up for yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. People say, well, how can God do this? God is righteous. He has given his only son, and he has forbear for 2,000 years with people. And one day, the door of grace will be closed much in the same way as the ark, and the judgment of God will be righteous. Amen. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, when the first judgment came, it was by water. The second one is going to be by fire. Amen. We know that. And Jude, verse 6, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting change unto darkness, unto the judgment of that great day. You know, that phrase, the great day, you know, in the Old Testament, when Jesus read from Isaiah, it talked about the great day, and he, of course, stopped short of referring to the day of judgment. It was a great day. It was a great day when Jesus came the first time, but it's still a great day when he comes the second time. But the first time he came as a lamb, and the second time he's coming as a lion. Amen. Jude verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Think about it. The people you know that have cursed God, the people who have no fear of God, they are reserved for a day of judgment. God help them. And Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of water. I love that because there's so much controversy of creation versus evolution. But on the day of judgment, while they're all being punished, we're all going to be around the throne worshiping him who made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here's a map, and this was released by the U.S. Geological Survey. They updated the seismic hazards map and listed Kentucky as one of the 16 states with the highest risk of earthquakes. Now, I want you to look at this map. It shows two big 6.7, 6.8 earthquakes, 1994, and this is that same region that... and I can't pronounce his name, the third of the three prophets I showed you, the Indian guy. This is the same region that he was referring to down there that far south in California. In 1994, it was a 6.7 magnitude earthquake. And you see the red and you see the yellow. And then the old 1895 earthquake of the New Madrid, and you can see the impact it had back then. We are really... in for something else when that goes, and I believe they both will go. I believe it's going to happen. The USGS said the New Madrid, which runs through a number of Mideast states, has been identified as an area that has potential for larger and more powerful quakes than previously thought. Duh. Right? All right. Revelation 15:4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify your name? For thou only art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. We are all Jesus's in the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are apostles and prophets and preachers and teachers. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. As he was in the world, so are we. And our representation of him should be bold as we are approaching the judgment and wrath of God. We cannot be timid. We must warn the people. We must warn them. That this judgment is truly coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, just a couple of closing points here. When Abraham was told, Abraham was a friend of God. And aren't you glad that God doesn't keep any secrets from his friends? How many want to be a friend of God? How many are a friend of God? I am a friend of God, right? Abraham was a friend of God. He doesn't keep any secrets from him. He told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham began to negotiate with the Lord. thus the reputation of the Jews to this day as being good negotiators. And he said, if there's 50 righteous, would you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Would not the God of all the earth do right? That wouldn't be right to destroy the righteous. Okay, if there's 50, I won't. If there's 40, I won't. If there's 30, 20, you know. The idea is that God is just, and God would not want to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. And when the number became lower than what he had negotiated with, did God fry the righteous with the unrighteous? No. What did he do? He sent an angel in and took them out. Amen. And as we see in America and around the world, the righteous growing and the saints diminishing, I believe there's going to reach a level, and at some point known only to the Lord, he's going to say to the Holy Spirit, bring them home. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that we will reign with him for 1,000 years. And what a day that's going to be. I had mentioned earlier, and with the fact that we're seeing this negotiating over Jerusalem so close, we don't know that if John Kirkpatrick is right, Kilpatrick is right, and they divide Jerusalem, we don't know how soon the New Madrid or whatever may happen. It could be within the next year. It really could. I could conceive how it would be within the next year if everything continues to flow. Now, I think the Palestinians aren't going to go for the peace plan initially. I think there's going to be a war. But after it's over and Israel has nuked Damascus off the map, they may be wanting to come back to the negotiating table. And all of that could happen within a few months. And so it's quite possible that all of this could come to pass within the next year. And this is not a time to be fearful. What it is a time to do, that passage from the Old Testament, it's time to seek the Lord. I don't want to be a foolish virgin who says, I don't need to seek the Lord, I'm fine. And then the Lord says, your cup is empty, you don't have any oil. And if he says that, it's too late. And the Bible says the door was shut, and those five foolish virgins, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, they used that phrase with hell, and they used that phrase with the people who missed the rapture. It's the same phrase, because hell is about to have a holiday on planet Earth. Hell is moving up to the next floor, to the surface of the planet. And hell is going to have a holiday on planet Earth. And I don't want to be here. And I'm preaching to me. I'm not browbeating anybody. I'm saying we need to seek the Lord. We are so close to the day of judgment. And so I wanted to end with this. Come on up, Noel. I wanted to end with this picture. It's the word and it's prayer. Amen. It's not anything new. It's not anything we don't know. It's not anything that we don't do. But we need to do more of it. We need to read more. We need to pray more. We need to abstain more. We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Because I believe judgment day is coming soon. Praise the Lord. This was not a feel-good sermon, but it was necessary. It's where we're at. I mean, this is it. These people are saying it's coming. And apparently there's two angels holding these two fault lines back. We don't know when God's going to say, let go. And we certainly don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who brings tomorrow. Let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I don't particularly like to preach sermons like this. I don't particularly like to beat the sheep. I like to feed the sheep. But we did feed them with much of your word today. And you mentioned many times about a day in the future when the righteous judgment of God will fall. It's not your will to punish the just with the unjust, or the righteous with the unrighteous. But you did remind us that we need to have our cups filled with oil. We need to have our wicks trimmed. We need to be watching. We need to be praying. We need to be ready. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night to those who are not watching. but to those that are watched, we would not be caught unaware. And so, Lord, forgive us for any times of slothfulness in the last weeks or months. Help us to take it up a notch. Help us to seek you with our whole heart. Be watching, be studying your word, to be praying, and to be ready. We know that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will know as we're known. We will rule and reign with you 1,000 years. And what a glorious day that's going to be. And so let us, Lord, make a point to make our lives a reflection of that one day in human history when the church will be brought home. That is our prayer, Lord. Keep us through your word and through prayer to be watching and ready in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Nola. Whatever you got's fine.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory.
Thank you for today. Thank you for each person here. Lord, help us to not be hearers of the word only, but doers. Help us, Lord, to take it up a notch and seek your face, Lord, as we anxiously await that final trumpet sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.